Fred and Jeff and John are the three horsemen. They never get along, they're the three horsemen. They argue about science fiction and fantasy. Fred and Jeff and John are the three horsemen. Ride, horsemen, ride.
When I was a boy, my brother David and I had to go to bed early, whether we were sleepy or not. In summer particularly, bedtime often came before sunset, and because our dormitory was in the east wing of the house, with a broad window facing the central courtyard and thus looking west, the hard pinkish light sometimes streamed in for hours while we lay staring out at my father's crippled monkey perched on a flaking parapet or telling stories one bed to another with soundless gestures. This is not recently read from The Incomparable, but The Three Horsemen Minus Two. Hi, good evening. This is Fred Kish, and you might say that this is a breaking news report. Unfortunately, as usual, John Stevens could not join us, and Jeff Patterson, it's been a long day. Unfortunately, Jeff is busy guiding CNN or ESPN or one of those other empires through its nightly broadcast cycle. So, hot off the press or hot off the con, from ReaderCon, we have former guest and host of way too many, or co-host of way too many podcasts and other things. We have Paul Weimer. Good evening, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hello, Three Horsemen listeners. Long time no talk.
So, Paul, did you recognize that opening paragraph from anything?
I want to say it's something like Fifth Head of Cerberus, but I'm not certain.
That's it.
Ha ha!
Gene Wolfe channeling his inner Marcel Proust, as it were. Because they're both it's a very similar paragraph to the opening of The Remembrance of Things
The Remembrance past. Remembrance of Things Past, certainly.
So I understand that you have been doing some traveling recently. What's been up?
Well, so a little bit of a background. So a couple of years ago, the fine folks at a long-running convention in Boston called ReaderCon invited me to the con. I declined. I had other con commitments, and, you know, going to Boston is expensive. Then they asked me again, and considering a local con here stopped putting me on programming because they wanted to chase the new hotness, I thought, well, instead of going to that con here, I will go to ReaderCon, the 30th ReaderCon, as a matter of fact. So a week ago, as this is recorded, I headed to the wilds of Boston, Massachusetts, to see a bit of the city and to attend my first ReaderCon there, 30th, my first. Mm.
I feel like we both know somebody in that fine town of beans and seafood, do we?
We do. His name is Richard Offrey. He is part of the quote-unquote Thursday Night Gamer group. He is a food critic, a lawyer, an all-around good guy.
And also an author of including some strange fiction as well as crime fiction. Let's not forget that.
Yes. We did. While I met him there, and I did meet him there, listener, spoiler, I mean, we talked a bit about Tipsy Sensei, and he had shown me a couple of places and things that had inspired his Tipsy Sensei novels and stories. So, yeah.
Yep. I will provide some links in the show notes, along with a story in which I am Tuckerized. So there we go. Once again, I'm in a story, and I die. So it's my fate or something to die horribly in various stories. So that was, I guess, a couple days of eating across Boston. How close to Boston is ReaderCon itself?
ReaderCon sits in the suburb of Boston called Quincy, Massachusetts, so it's still on the T, although it's a mile away from the T stop up a hill. So to get from the T stop to the hotel, unless you call the shuttle, requires walking a lot uphill and vice versa.
Right.
I don't recommend this with a broken and sprained foot, ladies and gentlemen, either.
Or after you've spent the day in the book stalls of the convention, picking up various tomes to carry.
Correct.
Also not recommended.
Also not recommended.
For those who are not familiar with it, I mean, it is the 30th year, but for those of who are not familiar with it, ReaderCon is more categorized, in my view, by what's in the name, namely Reader. So it's not like a lot of conventions where there's a media track and gaming tracks and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's basically a convention for readers. Is that...
As the website says, mm-hmm. although ReaderCon is modeled on science fiction conventions, we have no art show, no costumes, no gaming, and almost no media. Instead, mm-hmm. ReaderCon features a near total focus on the written word, and they mean it.
Okay. So did you run across anybody that we both know, or either virtually or in the real world, while at the convention?
Richard himself did not attend the convention. As far as people we both know, I am not certain. I ran into a whole lot of people in ReaderCon, some of which I've known from 4th Street here in Minneapolis, some just from general internet that I've connected with. And also a number of genre luminaries who I'd never been in the same room with at the same time before. I mean, names like, say, Michael Swanwick, Elizabeth Hand, John Clute, Howard Waldrop. I mean, this con brings a lot of the best and brightest of science fiction to the con. It is very World Con esque in that regard, that apparently lots of genre people like to come here. It's about 700, 800 people from what I saw and what I asked about the con size. It gets quite the attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Catherine Glenty was there. Amal El-Motar. I didn't see John Crawley, although he was supposedly there. Didn't see him. Unfortunately, Samuel Delaney usually comes, but he didn't come this year, sadly and tragically.
Yeah, what a shame. Yep.
I would have loved to meet him.
Yep.
So.
And I guess the elusive Mr. Stevens was not there. I know he's been at the ReaderCon in the past.
Sadly, he was not there as far as I could tell.
Mm. We're going to have to do something about this, John.
Yeah, we're going to have to pry him out of his hermitage.
Something. Whatever he's in. We'll figure it out. So any interesting convention? It was an interesting convention, obviously, Fred. Were there any interesting panels, Paul?
There were plenty of interesting panels. I myself was on one panel. It was about incorporating the media into fantasy worlds and why lots of fantasy worlds don't seem to have our 24/7 media news cycle or even magical equivalents. And we had a nice, good discussion with a couple of writers who I'd never met before, though now I'm friends on the internet, about, well, why is this the case? And we got discussing about focusing on characters and the fact that trying to put a stream of treats into a novel kind of distracts from what from characters actually doing things. So we kind of agreed that there's potential there, but the reason why it's ignored is mainly because of plot and character associations. There were plenty of other fun panels and things to see. There were lots of author readings. That seems to be a big thing at the con, so I attended a number of those. And one panel in particular, which is, I think, the reason why you brought me on tonight, that hint from the quote before, was in memoriam of the late Gene Wolfe, who has just passed away as of this recording not too long ago. And so that panel brought together a number of people to talk about Gene Wolfe and his influence. It brought together Liz Hand, as I said before, Howard Waldrop, John Clute, Chris Gruhl, and CSE Cooney, Claire, who I'd found out in the course of this panel was the closest thing we have to they had a mentor-mentee relationship for years, mm-hmm. which was really cool. And she was, I mean, her remembrances of Gene Wolfe were extremely and intensely personal. The other guests generally talked about his work. She talked about how he and she interacted and how he helped her fiction and helped her become a writer,
right.
Which I thought was really, really intensely moving. It's like Gene apparently spent a lot of time and friendship to help her. And as of this recording, her first novella with Tor.com, Desdemona and the Deep, is about to come out. It comes out in a couple of weeks. Probably by the time this drops, we might be out already. So anyway, I did get to hear a read from it at the con, because, you know, author readings and she's not only expressive and emotive, it sounds like a really good novella, and I'm going to have to go pick it up. I didn't get a review copy, more to shame me.
Mm-hmm. So would you call yourself a Gene Wolfe fan? Or?
I came to Gene Wolfe late. I didn't start reading Gene Wolfe till I was in my 30s. And one of the players in my role-playing game, because, you know, lots of my life revolves around role-playing games and their players.
I've never noticed that about you.
You never noticed that. No one could guess that. Said that you should read Gene Wolfe. And I said, okay. In picking up all the masters I had over the years, and a lot of it influenced by my older brother's collection, he had never gotten into Gene Wolfe. And so I had missed him entirely in my early reading of the genre. So I went kind of head first and went into the Book of the New Sun from the start, which is possibly not the best way to start with Gene Wolfe, I must admit, looking backwards. But then once I came out of the five books of that, I started paddling around looking at other Gene Wolfe items, The Fifth Head of Cerberus, the Long Sun novels.
Right.
And as things starts going forward, things like The Wizard Knight and A Sorcerer's mm-hmm. House and so forth. And so I've been trying to fill in all those gaps, Soldier in the Mist and so forth.
Right.
I haven't read everything he has. I need to plug in those gaps. And now I have the urge with his passing to start rereading some of those books. I mean, the proliferation of Gene Wolfe podcasts on the internet, I've also helped in that. Like, you should reread them. You should reread them. It's kind of back of my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I did poke some links out on both the Gene Wolfe Literary Podcast and Azible Soup in the episode that I just did with Jeff. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll definitely repeat what I said before. Those are both very good podcasts. I mean, I started reading when I was a kid, so I'm not sure which is a better approach, reading him late when you're an adult or reading him when you're not even a teenager. So,
well, I got to tell you about that. Well, I got to tell you about that. There's something even crazier because, Howard, John, and they all talked about how they encountered Gene Wolfe. As I said, Claire talked about that connection they had. And
right.
And Chris had just picked up one of his novels. Howard talked about how he met Gene Wolfe at, quote, unquote, at Snow White's castle, apparently at a World Con in Florida. They wound up meeting each other in Disney World, mm-hmm. of all places. And John Clute said that the first Gene Wolfe he read was Citadel of the Artark, which is a very odd place to start Gene Wolfe, I must admit. But he spoke really passionately as a reader, as a reviewer, about how much his work really influenced him. And fun fact, John Clute really, really likes the Wizard Knight duology. He, mm-hmm. he kept going back to it and talking about it, and talking about every time we talked about the themes and what made Gene Wolfe, he kept going back to that. So that apparently really is his Gene Wolfe heart.
Right. Yeah, I mean, everyone's got a different favorite. And I mean, I think the one thing that I like most about Gene Wolfe is that you always discover new things when you reread something. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, Patrick O'Brien is a fiction series that I go back, and if I read it, I discover things. If I listen to various audiobook versions, and there are many versions on audio, you know, each narrator emphasizes different things and therefore makes me look at things differently. And Gene Wolfe, I mean, you look at the language, or you look at the plot, or you look at the names that he uses, and you can discover different layers that way. Or even just, to go back to gaming, non-player characters in the Book of the New Sun, where you discover, isn't that Borges there? You know, so it's worth somebody who's worth a lot of rereading.
Yeah, so John Clute had said, you have to read every single word. You have to believe every single word. You can't. He was talking about, like, some authors you can just, like, kind of skim through. You can't do that with Gene Wolfe, mm-hmm. and really expect to go with it. But reading all those words, because his intense word choice really brings out new things every time you look at the page or look at a work of his.
Right. So, any other good panels or?
It's the Yes, though unfortunately part two was scheduled against me, so I didn't get to see it, but there were two panels on the real Middle Ages. Part one was Europe, which is when I got to attend. Part two was everything but Europe, and that was scheduled against me, so I didn't get to see that. So that was a really interesting look at what the Middle Ages really was like in Europe, instead of the whitewashed sort of white supremacist view of Europe as just white bashing without any connections or anything else. And we talked a lot about history and Europe's connections with the rest of the world and how the Middle Ages really was. The only person on that panel I think you might know, at least from the internet, is historian Jess Nevins. He was on that panel.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a highlight of the con for me. As I said, I did a lot of readings rather than panels. So, and I also did things like the aforementioned C.S.C. Cooney and her husband Carlos Hernandez did a concert. So I went to that, and it was a geeky genre concert of a band they have called Brimstone Rind with Faye Ringel, and that was lots of fun. And well, she can not only write, she can sing and write lyrics. So you know, multi-talented people. So my con really focused on smaller, intimate things this time. It was maybe not the quintessential archetypical ReaderCon experience, but it was the ReaderCon experience I got from my first time out.
No, that's good. That's good. And have you avoided the con crud so far?
I have avoided the Saturday in the middle of the con, I got a whopping massive headache, which meant I missed several hours of programming and several panels, unfortunately, and also a birthday party. So that was not so great. But I've otherwise avoided con crud.
Right. I think that's different than con crud.
That is different than con crud.
That was probably too much scotch with Richard or something.
I never actually did drink any alcohol with Richard. I mean, he did all the drinking. Inconceivable. I wanted to be in as good a health mental state as I could be for the con.
Well, so. Then maybe you should have drunk. Maybe that was the problem.
Maybe I didn't drink enough because he knew his food and his drink rather well at the places he took me. I mean, the one place we went on Thursday, I mean, he knew the owner. He went over and talked to the owner. And it's like, so Richard's passion and his connection to the Boston food scene is real and palpable. And I got to see it firsthand.
Yep. Yep. And you can just see it just reading his blog.
Yep.
So, what other things are you doing? Are you still involved in all those other podcasts there, Paul?
I am still a Hugo finalist for the Skiffy and Fanty show.
What?
So, yes, I. What? I mean, Dublin finally decided if I was going to Dublin. Sadly, I'm not because of a couple of things.
Mostly
work related, but yes, I am. I'm officially a Hugo finalist for the second time for this Skiffy and Fanty show. So that's exciting. I still do participate in SF Audio. Mm-hmm. Just about every week that we have a podcast, I need to get cracking on the audiobook we're tackling this coming Sunday, which is The Angel of Terror, which is a crime slash thriller novel from the early 20th century. So
who's
that's
the author? Is that the title? Sounds familiar to me.
I think it's Edgar Wallace.
It does ring a bell.
Yeah, Edgar Wallace. That is the name of the author. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got to get cracking on listening to that at some point. Those are the two main podcasts I show up frequently. I haven't shown up on any other podcasts recently besides this one. I do game with someone who does gaming podcasts, but we're not recording that, so I'm not on Christiana Ellis's podcast, but we're just playing Fate of Cthulhu for fun. Maybe at some point I'll get invited to play in one of her streamed games, but you know, in the meantime, my poor character is dealing with the minions of Nyarl Hotep safely away from others' ears.
If you want to call something like that safe, okay.
But as far as writing, as far as podcasting, I am still writing for the Skiffy and Fantasy Show. Mm-hmm. I am writing for Nerds of a Feather, which is a Hugo finalist. I am not personally a Hugo finalist for Nerds of a Feather, just the editors are. That would
be 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Yeah,
yeah, that would be the G, Vance Katya and Joe Sherry. Those are the actual nominees. In 2017 in Helsinki, I was their designate mm-hmm. for them because they were nominated back then too. So I've been working with and around these guys for quite a while. So I'm writing for that Hugo nominee. So I am a Hugo nominee, and I write for another Hugo nominee, which is not a bad thing. I also do have stuff that comes out on tour.com and on BN Sci-Fi. So right. I keep myself a little busy.
Well, I hope you send me a couple of links so I can include them in the show notes.
I will be happy to send you links so that listeners can go find out all the goodness that I have to offer on the internets.
Yep, and you certainly do have a lot of goodness to offer. Well, Paul, thank you. I'm glad you survived your trip to Boston. I was more concerned about your interaction with Richard and his culinary magic than the convention, but
he
came through both.
I mean, we found out that I don't like cold lobster roll, and as Richard ranted on his own blog, that a roll that doesn't hold together is a bad lobster roll. So I helped inspire a rant of his because his roll fell apart and he was not happy. Mm-hmm. And he's right. I mean, yep. If you're going to pay that much for a lobster roll, you need to have good lobster meat and a roll that holds it up together. So, yep. You know.
I agree. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. And I hope we have you on again. Maybe we'll be able to pull off another Borges episode or more on Gene Wolfe. You know, maybe we can get that Fabio character on our podcast or something. Who knows?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. So thank you again, Paul. Have a good night.
Good night.